It's good to be here this morning. We're thankful for each and every one that has come this way. I hope that you've come this way for a purpose. I hope you're not just here just to occupy a bench. I hope you're not here just to eat the meal later, even though Missionary Baptist can cook. I hope you're not here just to hear the singing later. I hope you're not here to be entertained by me. But I hope you're here to serve God in the full capacity that God has given you. You see, I said, as God has given. I don't want you to fake serving God this morning. I want you from the depth of your heart to search every ounce of it and ask God what He would have for you to do today. It's not just my obligation to come prepared, ready to serve God, to do what He has me to. It's yours also as a child of God to be ready, able, and willing to serve Him in whatever capacity that might be, wherever you might be. Amen. So this morning I pray that if God says stand, you stand. If God says sit, you sit. If God says pray, you pray. If God says sing, you sing. If we ever get to this meal, it doesn't bother me. I want to sit at the table of the Lord this morning. Amen. Jesus told the church there in Revelation, He said, I stand at the door knocking. He who lets me in, I'll come in and sup with you. This morning, He wasn't talking to those that are lost. Remember, He was telling the church. This morning He's at the door knocking. Will you let Him in that we might be able to eat at the table of the King? Amen. Oh, undeserving we are. Oh, but merciful He is. This morning I asked an interest in your prayers. I've struggled ever since Brother Derek called me and asked me to come this way. I've had random thoughts go through my head. This is what I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to preach. I have many nights of prayer. I woke up in the middle of the night wondering about it, had something on my heart, and ended up preaching on Facebook the next Sunday and thought, well, that isn't it, Lord, and I've struggled. I got in my study last night and I sit there and I said, Lord, it's tomorrow. What are we going to do? And I kept going back to what I wanted to go to. With Facebook, I'm used to having to have a title on everything so I could put it out there and hopefully encourage someone to look at it just by curiosity of the title. If nothing else, they'll look at it and listen. And so I'm used to having a title. And I said, Lord, give me a title. Give me something to title a message by, and then I'll work around the title. Don't ever make the mistake of telling the Lord what you're going to do. Because I stand before you this morning really without a title. I stand before you this morning without a sermon wrapped around a title to look at anything. The only thing I know to title this morning is just listen to me for just a little bit. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I beg you this morning. If it would do me any good, I'd get on my knees and beg you to give me your attention just for a short time. I'll have your ears because as you can tell, I'm loud. But give me your attention, because I want to tell you what the Lord has told me. I want you to hear what God has for you to hear this morning. If you're here and saved, I ask you to give me your attention. Mothers, if your children get loud, that's fine. Let them get loud. Don't worry about it. I preached over my kids for many years now, and I will probably continue to preach over my kids for many years, and that's fine. Don't worry about the things that are going on around us. Let's just focus on what God has for us this morning. I'm excited to fight this morning. And I'm going to fight for your attention. I'm going to fight for God's will to be done here this morning. And I'm going to fight till I die. That's one thing I respected about Brother Day. I was just in church service with him about 3 weeks ago over at Fellowship. He was over there. And we were talking about the fight. And he said, my fight's coming to an end. I don't know if he felt that he was coming to an end or not. But he said, I ask you to continue the fight on. And so this morning I want to do that. I want to fight. I want to fight with every ounce of energy I've got. I want to fight with every ounce of strength that I've got. Because why? Why? You say, why should we fight? Because there are souls in the balance this morning. I don't know anyone's heart here this morning. I don't know who's lost and who's saved. I guess that's the great thing about a preacher. I don't know who's lost and who's saved. I don't even know who I'm here to speak to. I might be here to speak to myself this morning. But I know one thing. God knows all. And tomorrow, this morning, He knows who needs to hear what. He knows who doesn't need to hear what. And I'll tell you this morning, if you give Him your attention, He will tell you exactly what you need to hear at this very moment. My worst enemy is staring me down in the face right now. I just ask you to pray for me this morning. We're going to take a reading out of Genesis chapter 6. And most everybody's been in church most of their life and already figured out what chapter we're at, what story we're going to, what is being talked about here in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to talk just a few moments about Noah and the ark. And I want you to understand this is not just a children's Bible story. This is not just another bedtime story that we are to tell our children. But there's a lot to learn here in Genesis chapter 6 about who mankind was and is even today. And it tells us about a worker that works and labors for the Lord. It tells us about a foundation. It tells us about an ark of safety. There's so much. I'm not going to be able to get to all of it today, but I want you to give me your ear for just a moment. Don't tune it out because it's Noah and the ark. Oh, so many times we hear the minister get up and he might talk about Noah, or he might begin to read about David and Goliath, and we think these are children's stories. We've heard them since we were in a child's like Sunday school room. We've been taught on these stories, but I want you to understand every word in this book is for every one of us. Young and old alike, and if you study and you dig deeper, you're going to find some of the children's stories are very deep in the Lord. I'm unworthy this morning to even begin to read from the Word of the Lord. I feel like a little speck in His eye. But God has called me to do a work, and this morning I want to do it. So bear with me for a moment as we talk about Noah and the ark, and don't tune me out just because it's Noah and the ark. I want you to understand there's great things. We're going to start in the first verse. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of gods and saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. And they took them wives, and all of them which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that were the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and some the same became mighty men, which were of old men, of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon earth. So we're going to stop reading there. Many people know the story of Noah building the ark. They know that God came to him and God spoke to him, and God used him to build this ark, told him to pitch it with pitch and use gopher wood, and he gave specific directions on how to build this ark. And I want to add this side note to it. If Noah would have strayed from them blueprints, just 1 ounce or 1 inch off on that board, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. Understand that. It's not just some fictitious story we're talking about here. This is something God had constructed. Though he used Noah here to build the ark, a church, he's using us today to build upon a foundation that he has laid. That foundation of Jesus Christ we are to build upon. And we are to build exactly how he says. And not stray from it one way. I want to talk about Noah for just a minute, and we'll get back to the ark here in a minute. But I want to think about Noah. The Bible says he is perfect. What else does the Bible say? We think of that word perfect, and we think there's nothing wrong with him. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Even Noah here, though he was perfect, in other words, he was striving for the perfection in his life to serve God in whatever matter that was. He lived in an evil world. Does that sound familiar today? God's children, does that sound familiar today? That we live in an evil world. There is evil on the hearts and minds of men continually here in this day. And he repented God that he even made us. God had enough. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor with God. He found that unmerited favor. So God chose to use him not only to preserve mankind, not only to preserve the animals, but God chose him to work and to labor for him. Just as God has chosen you, if you've been saved by his grace, to work and labor for him. I want us to think about Noah, though, here for a minute. Here the world has never seen rain in their life. And Noah's telling these people, as he's building this big, huge boat in the middle of nowhere that they have never seen before in their life, it's going to rain. Remember back when you were lost and they said fire was going to fall from heaven? Before God truly convicted your heart, you're like, right, really? How stupid do you think I really am? And that's what these people were probably thinking in their own mind. They're thinking, how stupid do you think we are? Water's never fell from the sky. And yet it's going to fall enough that it's going to make this big, humongous thing that you're building float. And it's going to destroy everything. Noah, you've lost it. Does that sound familiar? Has anybody ever told you what you believe is crazy? If they haven't, put it out there on Facebook. They will. Trust me, I've been called an idiot. I've been called a soul washer. I've been called a fool for believing in a God that doesn't exist. But what happened with Noah? Did he quit? Do you think the whole 120 years when he was building this ark and getting everything precisely how God wanted, that he had an easy road? Do you think he just went day by day and just built without anybody giving him any opposition the whole time? You see, I've had a run-in with a gentleman on Facebook this week who just tore me up. Just tore me up. And I've let it get to me. But as I started reading this last night and going to as Noah was building the ark and all these people were coming up to him, "You're full, Noah. What are you thinking? This is not going to happen. We are wasting your time." As I had one man tell me, "I'm wasting my time because when we die, it's all over. There's nothing after." We live in a foolish world. How can anyone believe that there's not anything there in the life after when you just look at the creation that has gone on in this world and you cannot help but see the hand of a supreme being, whether you acknowledge it's God or not, you can't help but acknowledge there's something besides just matter in this world that just exploded and made it. You cannot help it. You can deny it all you want, but you cannot help it. If you truly are somewhat of an intelligent being, and I don't consider myself very intelligent, but I consider myself intelligent to have a little bit of common sense to understand and know that a tree just didn't come out of the ground for no reason. That the earth was made round and spins in a specific direction and a specific speed for no reason. There has to be a hand in all this. And that's what Noah was trying to tell the people. I'm not just a fool and idiot out here building this huge boat that's going to float on water for no reason. There's coming a day to when God is going to say that is enough, and the waters are going to start falling from heaven and raising from the earth, and this world is going to be destroyed by water. Amen. At the same time when he's speaking, he's hammering. At the same time when he's speaking, he's cutting. He's pitching. He's putting the pitch on. He's building this ark. God gave him specific directions. I don't know if you understand or have really dove into the ark or not, but it had one window. And that window pointed up. Why? Have you ever thought about that? There's only one way Noah needed to look. That was to God. It had one door. Do you understand why it only had one door? There's only one way in, one way out. What Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, "I am the door of the sheepfold. No man can enter in any other way except through the door." Do you want to realize what this, if you just stop for just a minute and think about it, what this ark really truly represented? It is the ark of safety. It was the ark of salvation. It was the ark of deliverance. It was the ark of from where we pass from death into life. It was going through and by that door, which is Jesus Christ. And straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto eternal life. There's only one way. There's only one way into the ark. And you read on in that same, I think the seventh chapter there, it says, God shut the door. Amen. Why did God shut the door? Why didn't Noah shut the door? Have you ever thought about that? I thought about that last night sitting in my study. God, why did you have to shut the door? Why didn't Noah shut the door? Do you realize even though Noah found grace in the sight of God, Noah said that he was perfect or strive for that perfection to deliver God's word and do whatever God would have him to do. He was a man.
Amen.
Do you understand it's not an easy thing to do the will of God? At times it's scary to do the will of God. Noah was going into something he has never seen before. But he had faith in what God had showed him. He went into this ark not knowing what was going to happen. He built the ark not knowing what was going to happen. By faith, we see, right? One day our faith will end in sight. But until that day, we must be a faithful generation. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And that's what Noah was doing. And Noah was showing us that we are to live as Noah. Now, I don't want you to go out here and start cutting wood down. Trees and start building an ark unless God told you to. And if he did, let me know, please, because I want to get in on it. Because I'm sure Noah was very blessed for what he did.
Amen.
But the Bible said that God shut the door. When God shuts the door, no man can open it. Once Noah entered into the ark and God shut the door, Noah had no choice but to write it out. Because God had shut the door. Noah could not open that door. His sons, I don't care how strong they were, they could not open the door. They couldn't have taken some of the animals that they had on the ark and they couldn't open the door. Why? Because God has shut the door. God had sealed the door. Do you realize when you're saved, just a side note, you're sealed? When God seals that salvation, no man can open it up. No man can take it away. It cannot be lost. It cannot be ruined. It is peace and joy throughout eternity. Well, I thought of Brother Dave this morning. He's told me many times, soon I will truly be able to thank him for all that he's worth. Do you want to know what he's doing today? He's not sitting on some bank fishing in heaven. He's not sitting on some bank on heaven's bright shore waiting for the gates to swing open wide. No, he's praising God. He's in the perfection of heaven, serving and thanking Jesus for what he had done. That's a little side note. Let's get back to it. Noah entered in the ark that God had sealed up. This ark wasn't just any other boat. They weren't going to hang vines off the back of it and go water skiing. They weren't going to go tubing. They were not going to go fishing off the side of it. This ark was made for security. You know what else is made for security? Salvation. I become secure in the hands of God when he saved my soul. I've been sealed into that ark of safety. Why? Because I went through the one door that only God can open and God can close. If you're here and lost this morning, I want you to understand that God must reveal to you that you are lost.
Amen.
That God must show you that you're convicted of sin. That God must reveal to you that you are separated from him. And it must be God that takes that away from you. And only God. And you will not find it anywhere else but going through that door, the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're here and lost, you might think, well, you're just a loud mouth fool. You're not the first one. And you won't be the last one. But I want you to hear this fool for just a moment. I want you to listen to me for just a moment. Because if you're here and lost, the fires are going to fall from heaven. Jesus said in Matthew, I believe it's the 25th chapter, he says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, he said, as in the days of Noah, so shall my return be. Remember what was going on? There's evil in the heart of man continually. Here's an eye-opening experience. Turn the news on when you get home. Turn the news on your radio. About everybody's got smartphones. Turn on MSN, turn on CNN, any news channel. And what do you hear? What do you see? Do you see the gloriness of the world? Do you see the greatness of it? No, you hear about how evil it is. I believe it was just last week, another school shooting down in Florida. There's another work shooting on the East Coast earlier this week. Do you understand what we're talking about here? Now, I'm not trying to scare you into thinking. I just want you to know the reality of the shape the world's in today is exactly the shape that it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus said, when it gets in that shape, watch and look, because here I come. Here I come. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says there's evil on the heart of man continually. They're marrying, giving in marriage, going about partying, having a good old time, not worrying about God, but they're worrying about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Going on in and out, doing this and that, trying to fulfill a void they have deep down in their heart with anything they could that was here on this earth without looking to God. It's just like today. It's just like the world we live in today. There are men and women out here in this world trying to fulfill that void that they have deep down in their heart with the lust of the flesh, with drugs, with alcohol, with money, with sex, with homosexuality. It's all out there. They're trying to use to fulfill this void. And the only thing they're doing is finding satisfaction for a short moment. Because the Bible says that Moses seen that was their pleasure in sin for a short season. But he chose the suffering of his people because he knew that there is true satisfaction in one, and that is in God. This morning, I don't know what you're looking for. I really don't. I'll tell you, when I was lost, I had this picture in my mind that when I got saved, I would see a great light shine around me. I would hear a voice from heaven, and I would come up shouting and singing praises to God. Boy, was I wrong. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. I don't know what you're looking for here today, but I hope that by the help of God that you'll be able to push that away and just look for God. Quit looking for the experience of what's going to happen and look for the help that comes from above. Because He's the only one that can give you the experience. And the experience isn't a great light. You know, that day I got saved, it wasn't no light. I didn't come up shouting. At first, I didn't even realize what happened. But that conviction that is set up, that pain that is set up, that trouble, that sorrow, that godly sorrow that's set up that I knew can only be from God was taken away. And there was a peace that was restored in me like I had never felt before in my life. And it wasn't a peace that everything's going to be all right, because guess what? It's not. In this world. But there's a peace that I knew that when I laid these eyes down in death, that heaven was home and God was my God. And there was nothing that could separate me ever again in that manner. It's just a peace. It wasn't no great light. See, a lot of times I think we read the story of Paul there on the road to Damascus and we think that's what's going to happen to us. No. Each and every one of us in here probably have a different experimental knowledge of what we went through that we found salvation. But one thing's for sure, God revealed to us that we are lost and God revealed to us that we're saved. That will not change.
Amen.
Where you're at, what you pray, where you kneel down, doesn't have to be at this bench. Doesn't have to be up here. Oh, it's a convenient place to come pray, but where you need to be is at the feet of Jesus this morning. And the only way to get there is not through and by actions of the body, but through and by actions of the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's through the heart this morning. I don't know what you're looking for, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 goes on and tells us, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. This morning, if you're lost and separated from God, acknowledge God and let God direct you to Him. Jesus said the Father will draw you. What is that? That's that direction to Him. Today you need to be upon the ark of safety. God's children, we must build and continue building on the foundation that He has laid. And we cannot give up no matter how hard it gets. Reality break just for a moment. God's children, it's not going to do anything but get harder. It's not. Look around us. This is one of the biggest crowds I've ever preached to in many years. Many years. And I've went from church to church to church. I got comfortable preaching to a little phone. But you know what? It doesn't make it any easier to serve God. If there's 1,000 or if there's 2, it doesn't matter. Noah didn't have an easy road for 120 years. Can you imagine? We might see 90. Noah went through this for 120 years. Building the ark. And then after that, one thing that we forget about, we always just put Noah in the ark and the rain's falling and we move on. But do you realize today that Noah sat in that ark for 7 days before the rain fell? Can you imagine what was going through his mind as he sat in the ark for 7 days with everything else in the world going on around him? You know what? Every once in a while, I think we need to be sealed up in the ark for 7 days, just us and God, and let the world go on around us. Noah wasn't worried about him anymore. Oh, I don't believe he was. I believe God tuned out the world to him so he could just have that time. I believe God spoke to him in them 7 days and God prepared him for what he was getting ready to come. That's a commentary according to Scott. But I believe God does not leave us alone. When he puts us in a position or he puts us in a situation, if we go with him, he will take us the rest of the way. And he will hold on to our hand and he will guide us and direct us. And that's Bible. That's not commentary according to Scott. That's Bible. Isaiah tells us that he will hold on to our hand if we just reach out and grab him. That he'll be there. This morning, they didn't believe Noah that the rains were going to fall. You might not believe me that Jesus is coming back. You might not believe me that when he comes back, his church will be taken home. His children will be gone, and there will be some that will be left behind.
Amen.
There will be some left behind. That's not commentary of Scott. That's the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 25. He said, 2 will be at the mill, 1 will be taken, 1 will be left behind. There will be some on the housetops, 1 will be taken, 1 will be left behind. What's going to happen on that day? You see, Noah preached to them and told them about the rains coming and they believed him. Not, I want to tell you what's going to happen on that day. If you believe me, that's your choice. God's not going to force you into salvation. If you want to believe me, that's your choice. But I don't want you to believe me this morning. Well, that sounds funny, doesn't it? But I don't want you to believe me this morning. I want you to believe God this morning. I want you to believe Him when He draws you, when He beckons for you to come to Him to be saved. I want you to believe it's Him and know that it's Him and not just a preacher saying some words. This morning it's very important that you believe God and His words. Not so much the preacher, but you believe in what God is revealing to you this morning. What did Christ tell Peter when he told him who he was? He said, Thou art Christ, Son of the living God. He said, Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Today you need a heavenly revelation. You need Jesus revealed to you by the Holy Spirit of God today.
Amen.
That you would know who he is. You will not seek after something you don't know is there. You won't. You won't. How many of you went around this morning trying to find something in your house you didn't know where it was or didn't know what it was? You see, if we don't know what it is, we don't even know it's lost, do we? We don't need to go looking for it. There's things in my house that I probably lost, and I forgot what they really were, and I don't need to look for them anymore. There's things we found when we moved a year and a half ago. Wow, I didn't know I had that. I lost that many years ago and didn't know it, but I knew what it was when I went looking for it. You see, if you don't know that God's real, you'll never search for it. How do you know that He's real today? The Bible says that He will draw you. And it'll be a drawing like you've never felt before. It'll be something that's different that you know that's only of God. How do you know? You'll know. Some of the hardest words to accept. But how will you know? You will know. It's something like I can't even begin to describe. The drawing power of God is something that's supernatural. I can't describe it. But you'll know it when you find it. Or when He finds you. The Bible says Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save those that are lost. Do you understand He's still doing that right now? Why the door of mercy is still open? He's seeking to save you today. He knows who you are. He knows if you're listening. He knows if you're not. He knows if you're tuned out. He knows if you're not even paying attention to Him. He knows if you don't even care about Him today. He knows. And you can't hide it from Him. Try all you want, but you're going to fail miserably. He knows. He knows who you are. He knows how old you are, how young you are. He knows every head on your head, which for some of us, that's getting fewer every day. He knows whether gray or whether not. He knows whether they're really dark or if they're really white. He knows our true colors. He knows everything about us. Amen. And this morning, He knows you're here this morning at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. He knows that you're sitting here in this sanctuary. He knows that you're sitting here in what you're doing. And He wants to save you. But He's not going to force you. You see, when Jesus returns, let's get back to what we were saying. I'll try to wrap this up. My enemy's telling me it's about time. When Jesus returns, it's not going to be just one big party. It's not going to be one big homecoming. As we tried to think of the homecoming service, well, it's going to be a homecoming for some. But then some, it's not. Some, it's going to be total destruction. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just for a moment, if we would. I want to read just a few verses here, starting with the 50th verse. Paul writing here, he says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption." So what he's saying is that this flesh and blood that you see before you cannot go into heaven.
Right.
It will not. This corruption that you see cannot go into heaven. It must be made incorruptible.
Amen.
Now he's talking about, and getting ready to talk about a new body. He's talking about the return of Christ when the resurrection comes. But I want you to understand this. Your corruptible soul, right now as it stands, cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It can't. Your corruption must put on incorruption. You must be changed. That's something you don't hear out in the world today. You must be changed from the inside out. Not from the outside in. You see, you can't accept Jesus Christ your personal Savior. You can't just make a decision. You can't just be baptized. You must be changed from the inside out. Jesus said you must. When He says must, do you want to understand what that word must means? It means it is a necessity. It has to happen. You must be born again.
Amen.
That doesn't happen in the mind. That doesn't happen in the body. That happens in the soul. This morning, if you've not been changed, you've not been saved. If you've never repented, you've never been saved. That corruption must put on incorruption. And that can only happen through and by the power of a holy God. And no one else. I love Brother Derek, but he cannot save your soul. This church cannot save your soul. These deacons cannot save your soul. Your salvation either comes from God or it doesn't come from anywhere. Psalmist said salvation belongeth to the Lord. The world wants to try to give salvation that they can't give. Only God can give it. But he talks about, he says, "Behold," in the 51st verse, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or be dead, but we shall be changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, whom giveth us victory through our Lord Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Today, have you witnessed victory? Or are you still in defeat? I think it was Worldwide Sports, who on my age, it used to come on ABC. They say the thrill of victory or the agony of defeat. The thrill of victory is found only in Jesus Christ. The agony of defeat is found staying lost and separated from God. It's agony. Sure, God's not going to make you be saved. And if you want to go to hell, just continue sitting there and do nothing. If you want to go to hell, continue living your life out in this world and not turn to God at all. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. I can't stop you. But if you don't, there's one seated at the throne of God right now at the right hand, ready, willing, and able to make intercession on your behalf that you might find that sweet peace of salvation. But if you don't want it, don't come get it. If you don't want it, I can't make it. If you don't want to find victory, I can't make it. Oh, sweet victory. Victory is sweet. Victory is great. But you will never find it without the one that already has the victory, which is Jesus Christ. This morning, I know we didn't talk a whole lot about knowing the ark, but that's okay. You need to find that door, and you need to get in because the rain's getting ready to fall. It's getting ready to fall. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That day that I'm going to either be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye or raised from the dead, that's coming very soon. God should rejoice in that, because we have something to look forward to, but at the same time mourn in agony for those that are lost. And they're going to be left behind. Paul tells us in the Thessalonian letters, he said, when that day comes, when we hear that last trump and that great shout from heaven, and Jesus returns, that he is not coming alone. You understand that? When the sky rolls back as a scroll and we see Jesus descending on the cloud of glory, he's not coming alone. Paul tells us that he's coming with his angels. His angels are coming for a specific purpose and reason. God doesn't just lay out a plan for no purpose. He's got a purpose for every plan. And they're not coming back for no reason. But the Bible says they're coming back with flaming swords to take vengeance on them that know not God. Those that are left behind, those that have never been saved, those that are lost and separated from God, those that rejected the sacrifice that was made on Calvary, those that have turned their back on Him, those are the ones that He will take vengeance upon.
Amen.
God is love. Yes, He is. He's a love like you can't even begin to imagine. But He also is wrath. He also is anger. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will recompense, or I will repay. Vengeance is His, and He will have vengeance on those that reject Him. You see, if you choose to go down the road that you're on, that broad way that leadeth unto destruction, that's your choice. That's your decision. If you choose to turn when God draws you to Him, if you turn the other way to go the other way, that's your choice. That's your decision. When you, as a rich man, lift his eyes up in hell, when you die, lost, and separated from God, and you end up in hell and you're in that flaming fire, guess what? That's your decision. That's your choice, because Jesus made a way that you can escape it. And if you choose not to follow after that drawing power of God, it's not His fault, but it's yours. Reality is something we think we want to know. We've got all kinds of reality shows on TV. We think it's entertaining to watch things that are supposedly reality. But the reality of it all is if you die lost and separated from God in hell, you will lift your eyes and there's no way out. The Bible says that the flame is never quenched. It is eternal darkness. The worm dieth not. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I believe that even the psalmist said that there are some begging to die and unable to die in hell. Yes, you'll have a new body. You'll have a new body. It won't be one fashioned unto like the Son of God. But you'll have a new body that will never die. But it feels torment and pain and suffering throughout eternity. Time is short, people. But eternity is forever. Amen. Never ending. Never having that moment of relief. Right now you can find relief. Once you get there, there is no relief. I don't know if you've really read the story there Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus. And I know I told you I hush, and I will. But I want to end with this. I want you to understand this. Jesus never once spoke the name of the rich man.
Right.
He called Lazarus by name. You see, there's a big difference in the salvation that the world teaches and the salvation of God. It's a big difference. You can have a mental knowledge of who Jesus is, but unless you have that experimental knowledge of the truth, you've not been saved. What happens then? Why did Jesus call Lazarus by name and the rich man not? What did Jesus tell them in Matthew chapter 7? I believe it's around the 21st verse. 20th and 21st verse said, there will be many that come to me in that name saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done all these wonderful works in thy name? Let's go ahead and bring it down to the year 2018. Have we not been baptized in thy name? Have we not accepted you in your name? Have we not done all these good donations in your name? Have we not built all these mega churches in your name? Jesus said that I will look at them. And I don't believe that he's going to just look at them and say it. I believe he's going to look eye to eye to everyone. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? Because I never knew you. You see, Jesus knew Lazarus in the free pardon of sin, but he didn't know the rich man in the free pardon of sin. That's why he was always referred to as the rich man. What happened to the rich man? Read it. It says that when he died, his body was buried, and in hell he lifted his eyes. In torments. Plural. Not just in torment. In torments. Plural. There are things that is going on in hell right now that are unspeakable. That I can't even begin to imagine what they are going through right now, this very moment. And neither can you. But let me guarantee you this. It is real. And as Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged herself. This very moment. Making room for whosoever will reject the Savior. There's room for you. Don't think there's not going to be room for you. There's room for you. If you choose to turn him away again. If you choose not to repent and have faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you choose hell to be your eternal destination. It's not an eternal home. It's an eternal destination. It's nothing like home. There's not going to be any partying as this world wants to think. Satan's not going to sit on a throne. The Bible says that he knows exactly what's getting ready to happen to him. He knows that his time is short. And I believe it's the 20th chapter of Revelation tells us that he gets cast in to the lake of fire to burn forever. And who is really prepared for? It wasn't prepared for you or me. The plan of salvation was prepared for mankind. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you choose to reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I use that word choose a lot. Christ tells us in John chapter 3, I think it's around the 18th verse. He that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, you have a choice. Because he goes on, he said, he that believed has everlasting life. So if you choose not to believe in what you cannot see, but I guarantee you, you can feel him. People say, well, I can't touch him. I guarantee you can feel God. I guarantee you he can make known that he is real and that you know who he is and that you have an opportunity to seek him. What you do with that opportunity is up to you. but he will give every living soul an opportunity to seek him. This might be your last. I don't know. This might be your last. If I'm understanding correctly, that door is unlocked. There's evil on the heart of man continually. There's nothing stopping anyone from coming in that door right now. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the reality of the day and age we live in. There's nothing stopping a mass shooting happening here in this church right now. Are you ready? Are you prepared? I'm not asking you, are you ready to fight? I'm not asking you if you have a gun on your side. I'm asking you, are you ready to die? If it was to come right this very moment. Because there's evil on the heart of man continually out in this world we live in. And are you ready to die? Because guess what? Death's coming and you can't stop it. You cannot stop it. No matter what age you are, don't think you're going to live forever. Because you're not. Don't even think you're going to live another day. Because you might not. And you say, well, I've heard that my whole life. And that's right, I have too. One of these days I'm going to be right. And you're not going to see tomorrow. Whether I'm alive to see it or not, one day I will be right. And you will not see another day. Are you going to be ready for that day? If it comes at a young age, are you going to be ready? If it comes at an old age, are you going to be ready? What if it comes in the middle age? Are you ready? Because that day is coming for each and every one of us. Are you ready today? I hope and pray that everyone that leaves this building today is ready to die. Ready to die. Not looking forward to it, but ready to die. I'm not looking forward to the sting of death. I'll be honest with you. I'm a wimp. I don't like pain at all. Me and pain don't get along. I don't like it. I don't fear dying. But I'm not looking forward to the sting of death. But I know once it's over, goodbye world, hello Jesus. That sting of death is nothing compared to the pains of hell. And this morning is your opportunity. And it might be your last opportunity to seek God. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? If God has drawn you, what are you going to do about it? He says, now is the time. Today is the day. Now is the time that is appointed for you to find salvation. Today. April 22nd, 2018. Roughly 12:35. Is now the time for you to find God. Not 12:37. Not 12:38. Now. Right now. That's the urgency that you need to find and need to feel today. Right now, this very moment, could be your last moment here on this earth. And you might just be thinking, I wish that loudmouth man would just shut up. I pray you're not. I pray you're talking to God already. Again, you don't have to be up here. You don't have to be up here to be saved. But where you have to be is at the feet of Jesus. And there's only one way to get there. Only one way to get there. Just as there's only one way into the ark. You see, when Jesus returns, that door of salvation will be closed forever. And God will seal it shut. And it will never be opened again. Where do you stand in the eyes of God today? Do you know Him or not? Who do men say that He is? Who do you say that He is today? Some fictitious man that we're making up? Or do you know that He's real today? My prayer is that He would reveal Himself to you this very moment. Amen. That you would know that He is real. That you would know that He died in your place. This might be the last time I ever get to tell you about Him. And I know that I haven't done a worthy job of it. But I pray that He will take my feeble efforts and He will take it deep down in your heart this morning. And that you will realize everything that we have said is true. That heaven is real and it's a glorious place to look forward to going to. That hell is real and it's a destructive place that you don't want to go to. And it's not just a big movie production that we're up here trying to produce. but that this is reality and that you must seek Him to find Him. The Lord said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be you saved, for I am the Lord and there is none else. Don't look anywhere else but the feet of Jesus to find that sweet peace. God bless you is my prayer.